All right, everybody, we're back on Curious Apes. I am here with Julie Orr, and I am Stephen Parton, and today we are going to talk about the value of religion. Pretty lighthearted topic. Obviously not really. So, Julie, you are from a background where you were raised by atheists,
mm-hmm.
and I am from a background that is Christian, a very large family of Christians surrounded by a community of Christians in the Bible Belt of Southern Ohio. So, what is your experience and thoughts in terms of the value of religion?
Yeah, it's been interesting living in Portland. Almost everyone I've met here has what I've now called religion trauma. of just, yeah, feeling those oppressive power-related aspects of religion, especially related to sexual orientation. And for me, the harms of religion were so indoctrinated in me. It was like religion was like all bad, always bad. Mm-hmm. Anything religion is bad. That's how I was brought up. My parents are both scientists. That's sort of their religion. And as I've gotten older and I sort of began exploring some religious communities through my music studies, cultural music studies, and just seeing that and in exploring spirituality, things like mindfulness and meditation, which don't have to be religious by any means, that so many of those ideas are actually like a lot of the foundations of all of the religions are just echoing those ideas in different forms.
Totally. You know, I find that so interesting you say that, because one of the things that I realized as I kind of made my transition out of religion and into what I would now consider myself as agnostic, was that we're all doing the same thing. You know, like one Buddhist's meditation is a Christian's prayer.
Yeah.
You know, like a lot of the different, you know, ideas of oneness that the Christian is seeking with his God, you know, by cleansing himself of sin and making sure he gets into heaven's gate and goes to heaven, is the same as a Buddhist who's trying to make it through the karmic rebirths until they merge with the Godhead. You know, so in many ways we're all saying the same thing, and yet we're still using it as kind of a divisive tool. Mm-hmm. But obviously there's power there, otherwise we wouldn't all do it.
Yeah. There's power in the religion, or there's power in using it as a divisive tool?
I mean, obviously there's something that our species finds beneficial by creating these origin stories, by putting this religion on top of reality,
mm-hmm.
to give it some structure, I suppose. But interestingly enough, it's something that I think we're in some ways moving away from. So it seemed more useful when we were kind of more ignorant, not necessarily in a, you know, a mean way am I saying ignorant, but just in terms of the fact that we didn't know where the sun went when it went down on the other side of that mountain.
Sure.
And now we are exploring planets that are around other stars.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we have a lot bigger picture of reality.
Sure.
But there's still value there, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're a species that does well with metaphor, mm-hmm. and anthropomorphizing. So it makes sense. You know, these are really big, complicated topics. And to sort of put a face, mm-hmm. and a name, I was learning a bit about Hinduism recently, and at least the source I was reading was, mm-hmm. saying, all of these gods, they're just for you to understand better.
Yes.
Really, there's a oneness, and you're part of that oneness, but like, we'll go with all these stories so that you can get it.
And that seems to me to be the core value of religion. It's the core value of all storytelling. It's why I love storytelling, is because you get to create a template that people get to project themselves and their reality onto,
mm-hmm.
and then you get to kind of evoke a reflection or some kind of emotional response or some kind of insight by letting them put their world onto this other world. Unfortunately, the value of religion in that way, I think, is quite tainted by the fact that a lot of people use religion as a way to divide the masses, whether it's Islamic faiths versus Christian faiths, or whether it's, you know,
Or even atheism versus religion.
Or atheism versus religion. Atheism in its own right can be considered a religion, I think, in many ways. A lot of atheists will claim that it's not saying no for sure, but a lot of atheists will come out and say outright that they know for a fact that there is not a God. And while I, as agnostic, lean that way, I still think there's a lot of arrogance in saying you know that there's not a God, just in the same exact way as I think there's a lot of arrogance in saying that you know there is a God.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think it's important that if we are to appreciate this reality that we're creating religion in order to appreciate, then we have to admit our ignorance. I think that's the first step of giving over. I think that's one of the driving forces of religion, is that it lets us be ignorant, because then we get to get the answers. You know, mm-hmm. we get to be like, oh, cool. Well, the sun goes down because, like, you know, Ra, you know, or like, you know, the sun god takes it there at night because he's doing this whatever story he's doing, or
right, it sort of takes responsibility off of us to do the digging, and that's a sort of outside example, mm-hmm. but in terms of things about ourselves and how we should behave, it takes it's easy, it's like it takes the onus off of us to really think critically, and yeah, as we were talking about, I think it's sort of the sort of like total refusal of religion, and the sort of like blanket
mm-hmm.
fundamentalist, like, okay, I'll believe everything you say and just go by that, so I don't have to do any sort of thinking myself, are sort of two sides of the same coin.
I think it's a way to free ourselves from the terror of choice. You know, it's very
or of uncertainty.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What happens when I die? What does it all mean? Oh, yeah. I don't have to know. Guess what it means? Because like I have this book that tells me what it means.
Yeah.
And I think that's where I have the biggest issue with religion. While I was raised religious, I think religion in some ways can get a bad rap because, you know, the people who were religious who raised me and the community that I had was very loving. And while there are some ideas that I think are very destructive to society, they're very good people. But having said that, I think religion causes a really big issue because it is very stupefying in that way. It takes away this desire to explore self because we've already handed off self to another god. Furthermore, I think it takes away our curiosity of the world. I think curiosity, obviously, is very important. I think we are inherently the best when we are being curious apes, when we are acknowledging the fact that we are animals who don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
Because of what I think that does is it creates an appreciation of this reality. It creates an appreciation of the fact that, like, how the hell are there trees on this rock that is floating around a ball of fire that's just one of 100 billion trillion other balls of fire in massive amounts of galaxies? Like, that is so mind-blowing and inspiring that it is something I want to be in the dark about because it gives me a sense of magic.
You want to be in the dark about it. That sounds different from curiosity.
Well, I like the fact that I'm not pretending I know the answers because mm-hmm. it gives me this beautiful sense of wonder to think about all the amazing things that there are still left to know about the world.
Yeah.
To know that I can still grow and that it's okay to be ignorant. You know, it makes me feel comfortable about my smallness and my ignorance because I'm like, yeah, of course. Like, who's to say how many, there's 8 billion people on this planet, and who's to say how many other planets might have other life forms that are thinking the same thing I'm thinking, and like how great that we're all acknowledging that we have so much to learn and therefore so much appreciation for it all.
Absolutely. I think that's really well put. Going back to the idea of mindfulness and just how to sort of live better, mm-hmm. Curiosity seems like a key. And any kind of doctrine-oriented mm-hmm. thinking inhibits that. But I think it's important to realize religion is just one way in which we can choose to continue to be curious.
Yes.
And sort of look at it as a metaphor, stories that other people are telling from the mm-hmm. past. And could we learn something about ourselves through these? Or
absolutely.
Let's not. Let's just like believe everything that's said. Let's use this, twist it, however fuels our agendas mm-hmm. to confirm what we already believe and already know so that we feel safe.
Yes, and I think that unfortunately that's one of the things we use it for, is we have a certain sect of our society who are in power who use religion as a very good way to keep people from questioning things. And I don't think that's conspiracy theorist. I'm not trying to call people sheep. I'm not trying to say there's some Illuminati, secret society thing happening here. I just simply think it benefits people who are running businesses and the government to have people who are still absolutely terrified of the afterlife, so that they give over all of their decision making to a god and to a government. And that makes it
Sure,
very
yeah.
easy to suffer or to endure the difficulties of the society, largely potentially created by the fact that we've given away our power to a government and a god. And so we don't feel fulfilled, because I feel like when you give yourself these labels as an American or as a Christian or as a Muslim, what you're doing is you're literally confining the amount of space that your brain is allowed to think within. And if you free yourself from religion and approach it more spiritually, you go from having a very small box of what the world can be to having infinite possibility. And when you have infinite possibility, you have a better chance to find out what fulfills you and what makes sense to you, rather than adhere to this thing that there's always maybe a natural feeling that kind of deep down makes you wonder if maybe it doesn't make sense, or if maybe like this isn't the right thing for you, or that like, maybe as a woman you don't want to believe in a religion that like bashes women. That's a cultural conversation for another time, but there's people in, I think, a lot of religions, myself included at a young age, who can't help but wonder, like, is this maybe not for me? And then you maybe come to Portland and you join the rest of us island of mis on the island of misfit toys, and we all sit here and weep about our past sins of religion.
Well, so it's interesting coming from the other side of that, because again, I think religion gets such a bad rep, but atheism can be the same way.
True.
So I had the opposite experience, of wondering at a point, is this for me? I feel something more. And
Interesting.
yeah, so without defining that, yeah, I think you nailed it with like the labels sort of put you in a box and limit how far out you can see. If you've already decided this is the lens through which you're viewing the world, it's hard to have new
Right.
insights come to you that counter that.
And I think that way you lose the appreciation, the gratitude. You
Absolutely.
lose novelty and new experience, which I think is something that we inherently need.
Absolutely.
But please go on, sorry.
No, no. So it sort of seems like all of these sort of doctrines have two sides to them, the fear component and the love component, for lack of a better word. The love being sort of an unconditional sense of connection, that seems to be a present theme in all religions and spirituality. So, and then the fear component is, I think, what you're talking about like people in power using that.
Yes.
I tend to think most of those people don't even know that they're doing that. Sometimes there's very deliberate moves,
Right.
but that is just sort of what they know, and it's how they know to take power. And yeah, religion, like all things, I think is there are really beneficial things you can get out of it that encourage curiosity and gratitude and connection.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think honestly, one of the things that saddens me most about our disenfranchisement with religion, and therefore spirituality as well in a lot of ways, is the fact that we've lost our community spaces. I think one of the deepest sorrows for me as a millennial living in Portland is the fact that I feel like in order to be with my community, I have to pay money, drink alcohol, or be in a room that's extremely loud and I have to stare at other people performing. And all three of these things mean I either have to stupefy my mind, not have a conversation, or go broke. And the beautiful thing about a church is the fact that you literally just go for free and you just are with people
mm-hmm.
in your community, and you just meet your neighbors and you share love and you share this idea that you're part of something together. And that is so beautiful. And I wish that we, as spiritualists, as agnostics, as atheists, would come together and somehow create a secular church that would promote yeah. that sense of community that churches provided, and that unfortunately we lose as people who attempt to move towards maybe more critical thought.
Yeah, what stands out to me about churches, I feel like I have found spaces, community spaces, that don't necessarily involve drinking or spending money, but what is missing, I think, is the humility that comes with feeling like this isn't about me being in a new social situation and expressing my value or worth. This is about us connecting over this thing that's much bigger than all of us. Yes. And that can be God, or it can be, you know, whatever other sort of new age mm-hmm. spiritual, or even just the sense that, like, the sense of collective consciousness, yes. that we're all just one part of it.
Yeah, and it seems that we struggle to do that because either we don't know what that unifying thing is.
Yeah.
maybe in some ways it's the Occupy movement, or like Earth, you know, for climate change, and we're finding some, you know, maybe these things are becoming such big issues because we're actually finding out that not only are they important, but they actually give us a reason to band together and fight for something bigger than ourselves, kind of in the same way religion has or does. And but I wonder if there is an issue with like vulnerability in that as well. Like, I think part of our issue with the secular community is in some ways a lack of vulnerability, like you said, because there's almost like the certain amount of ego that you have to take upon yourself mm-hmm. to turn away religion and spirituality and to declare ownership of your own consciousness. You yeah. kind of have to like be like, well, of course I'm right, otherwise I wouldn't have yeah. like, you know, otherwise I'd stay in a religion that I give my power over to.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I think when you get a bunch of those people in the same room, it's very difficult to get people to be like, okay, so we're just here to talk and just like acknowledge our oneness, you know, like
right.
and that's a very one, it seems very new agey, which again we've gotten rid of because it's sounds like religion
mm-hmm.
or it sounds frou-frou and we're like, oh, that just sounds like BS.
Yeah.
Or we're just like, I don't know, I don't like talking about feelings. I was raised in a society where men have to be like super brutish and can't do that, and feelings are bad, and you
right,
know, like
right. Yeah, and I think atheism is a reaction and an equal and opposite reaction to religion, in that it's sort of like this emotional wall comes up of like, don't you dare try to tell me that I'm bad, that I'm wrong, that my identity is wrong,
mm-hmm.
which is totally legit. Mm-hmm. But I think that wall that gets put up, yeah, it blocks out more than it intends to.
That's a great point. I mean, I think if you are struggling with your identity in any way, whether that's gender, sexuality, just your religious beliefs, anything, you kind of have to put a guard up, unfortunately, to protect yourself as you kind of reevaluate and put yourself back together. Unfortunately, either I think that guard stays up for a very long time mm-hmm. to the point of maybe always, or, or, you know, it just really hinders our ability to feel like we can take ownership of ourselves while still engaging with other people.
Right. I think it takes a sense of, we put up walls because we sense there's a threat that mm-hmm. something can infiltrate. And I think like religious doctrine is a perfect example of that. Because for a lot of people who grew up in religious environments, they were young, easily influenced children when this happened. And I think that's a lot of the unfortunate cause of like a lack of curiosity or that then leads to what you're talking about a bunch of, you know, atheists being in a space and having this sense that they have to come in seeming like they know all the answers yeah. as opposed to having discussions, that it's somehow threatening to consider New Age ideas. I mean, when you think about it, why would it ever be threatening to consider an idea unless there's a sense of threat that it could actually kind of manipulate you?
I think the only time we do that is when we think that we will be exiled from our community. It's only through fear of judgment that I think, like, it blows my mind that so many people are offended by gay marriage or pot legalization when they know for a fact that the person smoking pot in their room, or that a man loving another man in the privacy of their own home, has basically zero impact on them at all. But the idea alone threatens them. The idea alone makes them feel like they're somehow being attacked by people having other ideas. And I think that is where the danger of religion does lie, where we lose value, you know, beyond the value of community and the sense of connectedness. I think religion also creates a very divisive thing where it's like, you cannot challenge my beliefs because I've invested all of my sense of being and my validity is based on this religion. And if you tell me that gay people can get married, you've told me my God is wrong. And if my God's wrong, I have nothing. I have to reevaluate everything.
Yeah, I think that's a huge thing. It's cognitive dissonance. It's painful to think that you might have sacrificed things in your life for something that might not be there, might not be real, might not have been necessary.
Yeah, and I mean, beyond the cognitive dissonance that I think is just a mentally terrifying thing to even consider, I think there is all the other aspects of it that, you know, do make you think like, God, it's just too hard to change my life now. How do I change my, all of my friends are religious. I was told that the wind was actually God, and that, like, the tree was God, and the water was God, and that everything God. And now what do I do when I need to learn about physics and find a whole new friends group? Like, you know, it's a very daunting thing. And I think that's where religion is dangerous again, is because it takes away our ability to explore, you know, the options of our reality. From a very young age, we get put in these boxes. A lot of people who don't seek out religion later in life, people who are raised, we get told all of these answers for us that are just the egotistical opinions of other people, largely based on fear. And then we get trapped in them to the point where our instinctive yearning to define reality for ourselves is blockaded by the definition we were already given. And then that's where cognitive dissonance happens. And because that's so hard, rather than escape it and try to build community with people different than you and outside of your religion, you dig in deeper and become more of a radical in your beliefs, and then you have religious war.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a good summary of what happens. Yeah.
But there is value there. Again, I think it's not all bad. I think, you know, again, I've seen religious people be some of the most loving, compassionate, empathetic people I've ever seen in my life.
Absolutely. And I think just like with all things, with all things, there are benefits to it if used in a certain way, and there are harmful possibilities. Absolutely. And I'd like to see all of us kind of question just how we're using these things, and if we're completely blaming the religion itself, or if we're blaming the way in which people use it, and or blaming maybe isn't productive at all, but just looking at, like, you know, this, take the Bible, it could be interpreted in hundreds of ways, and it has been, and we've seen certain voices be shut down, and so it's all about, like, it's not the religion that's the problem, it's the way we're interpreting it.
Right. I mean, there's plenty of Christians and Muslims and people of all faiths who are completely without judgment of people different than them. You know, there's a lot of, like, all world religions or whatever, all faith religions that are now opening people who are gay, and are opening up to people who are atheist, and, you know, are saying, hey, like, we don't care who you are. If you want to just come and be in this space where, yes, we'll talk about Jesus, but mostly we're here to just, like, celebrate the something bigger than ourselves. You know, I think there's a lot of that going on. So there is the ability to still take this thing that in some ways I think is disgusting, honestly, and use it in a way that is very compassionate and
Absolutely, yeah.
humanistic. So it might just be about evolving our human nature to kind of transcend the limitations of the boxes we put upon ourselves and make sure that we're not becoming a victim of the tool that we originally created to feel secure in a chaotic world, and instead use it to empower ourselves and empower community.
Yeah, absolutely. And use some of those stories as metaphor instead of
Yes.
this is what happened, and
Yes.
thus, these are the rules. Curiosity can still exist in religion.
I think it thrives best when it does, because I think we need to let religion evolve. I think religion should say, okay, like, I acknowledge, like, that religion would be so beautiful if it would evolve, if it would move past taking the story as a literal definition and into metaphor and saying, all right, now that we have this new information, let's keep having community centered around our oneness and change the definitions of what we realize about reality now that we're becoming more aware of it.
That would be cool.
Because then we would have churches of like Earth. You know, where we just go in and be like, hey, today, guys, all we're gonna do is celebrate the fact that isn't Earth crazy? Let's go hike. Let's go be druids and just like go like be hippies who love the fact that, you know, we live on a beautiful planet and it's and we have dominion over it and it can destroy us at any moment and we can destroy it. And we should acknowledge that and respect it. And
Absolutely.
that's where our oneness lies, you know?
Yeah, and I think that's something that that atheists are missing in their lives, because you mentioned like environmentalists gathering to sort of protect and fight for the earth, but that misses the component of just celebration
Yes.
that's found in churches and mosques and synagogues and
I would love more singing and dancing in my revolutions.
totally. Or just like you said, a place to come together to
Yes.
celebrate whatever it is that you're in awe of.
Any closing thoughts?
That's it for me.
This is Curious Apes, Julie or
Yes.
Stephen Parton. Thank you for watching.